How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every single Sunday, as well as Monday through Friday here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeart Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes as well, downloads later on. The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Monday through Friday, we are here at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Replays at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. There are approximately 18 hours of Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline USA throughout the week. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. It's a very, very busy weekend. Tonight, the moment this show goes off the air, the Ring of Honor pay-per-view is taking place from Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going to be talking all about that show. If you listen to the Daily Show, which debuted last Monday, you probably heard a number of Ring of Honor guests on the show. Everybody from AJ Styles to ROH champion Jay Briscoe. We had the TV champion Jay Lethal here on the show. Everybody was here talking about tonight's pay-per-view. So we're going to go over all the matches for the show and preview that here on the program tonight. Also, last night, it was the big Ronda Rousey pay-per-view in Los Angeles. Ronda Rousey versus Kat Zingano. You probably have to be living under a rock if you're a regular listener to the show to not know what happened. And I think probably most people predicted what would happen going in, a win by Ronda Rousey. But did you predict that it was going to happen in approximately 12.8 seconds? We're going to talk about the shocking fast armbar victory of Ronda Rousey. In her last two championship fights, she has finished both of her opponents in a combined 30 seconds. We're going to talk about that on the program here today, plus all of the news in wrestling. Brock Lesnar was at UFC last night, and obviously that opens up a lot of questions about the future of Brock. We're going to talk about that and so much more with Mike Sempervivi after your break. Also, phone calls later on in the evening. It's going to be a fun time. So stick around for that, everybody. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, last night was the Ronda Rousey-Kat Zingano pay-per-view, and obviously the first question is, did you think there was any chance this would end in 12.8 seconds?
There's always a chance, I guess, but no, I wouldn't have put money on that. Kat Zingano, I thought Rousey would win like a lot of people did, but I thought Kat would give her a little bit of a test. I don't know how much of a test, but certainly more than 12.83 seconds worth of test, at least as timed by Judo Jean LaBelle, although the UFC is officially saying 14 seconds. But did I think she'd finish her faster than she did Davis by 2 seconds? No, I don't think anybody could have believed that. This was, a lot of people are talking about Ronda Rousey as compared to Mike Tyson as far as being a pay-per-view attraction that just waylays and lays waste to people in seconds. And after the last three, it's really after all of them, but especially after the last three, it's really hard to disagree with them.
So the two big matches on the show, we can tie all of this together. There was the Holly Holm fight. And she won her fight, her debut. Didn't exactly look like a world beater. And there was very, very little talk afterwards of a Ronda Rousey-Holly Holm fight. I don't expect that one to happen. Holly Holm is not ready for that level. Ronda Rousey did bring her name up when they asked her who you would like to face next. And Betch Carrera, Kahea, I believe is how they pronounce it, was also brought up by Ronda Rousey. But the big question is, what about Chris Cyborg? She fought on the Invicta show on Friday night. She won her fight via knockout in less than a minute. No talk whatsoever on the UFC show about a Ronda Rousey-Chris Cyborg fight, even though that is realistically the biggest possible fight that they could do in that division.
Well, yeah, and Dana White was certainly at the Invicta show, and they talked to him at the Invicta show about the possibilities of such, and he kind of just pushed it to the side and said she's got to win tonight, and she's got to go down and make 135 pounds. And there really is no use hyping it up as great as and not shocking that Charmaine tweet was just laid to rest very, very quickly and busted up badly by Cyborg. But the reality of the situation is, until she proves she can actually get down to that weight and everybody believes it and she's completely clean, no diuretics, none of that stuff, there's no point in trying to even hype it up. And yes, you have to field questions about it. You don't run from it. But at the same time, you have to, whether it be Jessica I or Correa or no matter who it is, anybody but Cyborg, you also have to include in the mix, and you have to talk up as possible opponents for Ronda, because there's a real possibility the Cyborg fight doesn't happen.
The victory last night, Kat Zingano afterwards was devastated. She essentially cut the most profanity-laced promo, I think, in the history of UFC afterwards, saying she just wanted another shot.
She used the F word in several different ways.
That's right. She just wanted another shot. And unfortunately, I don't think that after that performance you can just give her a rematch. She got beaten so quickly. But I will say that the way that everything went down, what happened was Kat Zingano rushed in with a flying knee, and they immediately clinched. Zingano did a throw. Rousey immediately posted on her head and did a reversal. They were scrambling, and in the middle of the scramble, Rousey went for her back. Her arm was right there, and she trapped it in what essentially is a spiral armbar, I believe it's called, and she tapped her out. This noted official time 14 seconds, but the real time was about 12.8. So it was so fast. It was decisive, but it was so fast that I think if you have Zingano go in and face a top level opponent and she destroys this opponent, I think that you can probably make a case that she should get another shot. That maybe this just, it's almost like the old pro wrestling. She didn't say this, and this isn't really what it was, but you've seen it in pro wrestling before where the heel gets beaten quickly and he says, "I wasn't ready," and he demands another shot. I mean, this essentially is what she was saying. Not that she wasn't ready, but it was so fast that there was no chance to really see what either girl was capable of, except for like Ronda Rousey being great in the scramble.
But you know what usually happens in a case like that when they have the rematch, right?
Same thing happens.
Very, very quickly again, and I'm not saying that's going to happen, but hey, look, do I believe Kat Zingano actually deserves a rematch? Yeah, I do, because of how things went down. But with that said, that's what happens in fights, and you know, if she has to wait a little bit for it, that she's going to have to wait a little bit for it.
So that was the main event of the show last night, as noted. We don't know what's next for Ronda Rousey. It's probably Betch Kahaya. It's probably not going to be Chris Cyborg. If you look at Cyborg over the last year or so, when Ronda Rousey made it very clear, "I will be happy to fight you. I will fight you anytime, anywhere, but you have got to get down to 135 pounds. And if you don't, if you do not get down, I'm not doing this fight. I'm not doing a catch weight. I'm not doing anything." Ronda Rousey pretty much believes that if she believes that Chris Cyborg could get to 135 if Chris Cyborg were not on any performance-enhancing drugs. And so she is refusing to face her at all unless she makes 135. And over the last year, it appears Cyborg has made no effort to get down to 135 pounds. So I don't know if this fight is ever going to happen. I know that Shannon Knapp of Invicta thinks it's very close. After last night, I don't.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, there's going to have to be pressure. You know, people are so used in the fighting community when it comes to boxing and in the mainstream that once you clear out your division and you are at a smaller weight class, you go up. Now, with the UFC and Ronda Rousey, and rightfully so, are saying is, well, she's got to come down. I wonder, as time goes on and there are people that aren't as heavy into UFC as that may be listening to this program, that start that push of, well, why doesn't Ronda just move up? And possibly the Cyborg's camp can, and even maybe, you know, Shannon Knapp can actually kind of latch onto that a little bit and go, well, yeah, maybe Ronda, it's time for her to go up like men do and things like that. But I understand that why Ronda wouldn't. Last night, before the fight, I heard a radio interview with Jessica I, who was saying that everybody, you know, rushes into Ronda, which is exactly what happened last night with Kat Zingano, but everybody rushes into her, and you look at the back of the cage, and there's all that room behind you, and she thinks that she can make Rousey circle, that, you know, she can have a, I guess, have more of a defensive approach to facing off against Ronda Rousey, which to me sounds great, except for the fact that at some point she's going to latch onto her arm.
So the show last night, the other big news coming out of the show was Mr. Brock Lesnar in the front row with Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta.
In a suit.
That's right. He was in quite the suit he was wearing, in fact. He, of course, as many of you are well aware, walked out of Raw on Monday. He walked out of the show after a very, very loud argument with Vince McMahon. And this has led to a lot of speculation about what is the future of Brock Lesnar. Vince McMahon, for whatever this is worth, is insistent that WrestleMania is still going to go on as planned. Brock is going to make all of his dates. And if he doesn't, they are going to sue him within an inch of his life because they will consider it a breach of contract. Brock is not scheduled to be on Raw tomorrow. Brock is scheduled to be on Raw next week. And so we've got another week of waiting. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what does this mean? What are the chances that something is going on with Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon? Allegedly, the argument was regarding their new deal, the new contract that Brock would have to sign if he is going to continue in WWE past the Raw after WrestleMania. But there are people within WWE. And it's always like this for every story. I mean, it was like this when CM Punk left. There were people that thought it was a work. But there are people in WWE who think maybe this whole thing is just a storyline. Maybe they're working the boys. Maybe there is some sort of... I mean, it is interesting that he did walk out a week before the UFC show, and then he showed up in the front row, and of course he got everybody talking. I mean, maybe this is some sort of WWE-created storyline. I guess we shall talk about that after the break. We'll take your phone calls as well at 855-478-4478. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Semper, VV, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Before the break, talking about Brock Lesnar, and I'm not usually one for conspiracy theories, but you can make quite an argument that what happened Monday with Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon was an angle, and I'll tell you why, and you can come to your own conclusions. By the way, the vast majority of my being suggests that this whole thing is legitimate, but here's why one could argue that this is a work. If you remember many, many years ago, over a decade ago, there was a Brock Lesnar-Goldberg match at WrestleMania. And the fans figured out that these guys were leaving. Brock was going off to play football. And they turned on the match big time. These guys were sellouts. They were leaving the company. We now have a situation where Vince McMahon is doing everything in his power to get Roman Reigns over as your new top babyface, your new John Cena. And right now he's getting booed all over the place. And if you look at the way that they booked the Royal Rumble match, Brock Lesnar was cheered like crazy. So what Vince McMahon does not want is for WrestleMania to come, and the guy that is leaving is the guy that everybody is cheering like crazy, and the guy who is staying and is supposed to be the new top guy is the guy who's booed out of the building. So maybe in his mind, Vince McMahon is thinking, if I create this scenario where Brock is unhappy with me, I am unhappy with Brock, Brock is at UFC talking to Lorenzo and Dana, we get the word out that Lesnar may be leaving after WrestleMania. And that way, at WrestleMania, all of the fans will turn on Brock Lesnar because he's selling out, and they'll cheer the guy who's staying, that being Roman Reigns. I'm not saying that I think this is happening. I don't know what's happening. But this theory in my brain, thinking about the way that Vince McMahon operates, it does make sense to me, Mike.
It does. It absolutely does. When I first heard about it, that was my first reaction was, I wonder. regardless of whether it is true or not, you have another piece of creative in your pocket now. If he would be willing to go along with it, if he decides to leave, you have that piece in your pocket that you can play leading into WrestleMania. Again, if everybody's on board for it. So regardless of whether they'll figure it out or not, how true it is, if it's a work, no matter what it is, they have something else now in their hands because it got out and people heard about it.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Oh, what's up, Ryan?
I want to discuss a women's match I recently saw that was much better than the Ronda Rousey fight from last night.
I find this impossible to believe.
Okay, the match was between Tessa Blanchard and Renee Michelle. And the storyline was Renee Michelle stole Tessa Blanchard's belly-to-belly suplex that Magnum TA is known for. So it was sort of like the Luke Hawk, AJ Styles feud.
Sure.
And what made this match so cool was they had a special guest referee in Melissa Coates from American Gladiators.
That's right.
They had Robbie E as the special ring announcer. And they had Maria from Ring of Honor as the guest timekeeper.
There's a lot of big names around ringside.
Right. And Renee did hit the belly-to-belly suplex on Tessa Blanchard, but she missed the moonsault. And Tessa took advantage with the slingshot belly-to-back suplex that she's well known for.
And this was better than the Ronda Rousey fight last night.
Yes.
What do you think, Mike?
Hold the shit this match.
Is this possible that this could have been better? Where did you see this match, Ryan, before we go any further?
It was at the Jaffa Shrine in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
For what promotion?
Big Time Wrestling.
Big Time Wrestling. What do you think, Mike? I know you're a fan of Tessa Blanchard.
Yes, and Renee Michelle as well. I think you will see both of those girls one day in NXT. Most certainly, Tessa Blanchard. The Jaffa Mosque, that's actually, WWF used to run shows there, believe it or not. And I believe when Georgia started its push north, they ran shows there as well, Pro Wrestling USA-style shows there as well. But was it better than the Ronda Rousey fight? I could see how, for your entertainment dollar stretching amongst time and depending on what you're into, I could see you enjoying that match much more than the main event. I don't know if you could enjoy it as much as the Grasso Inoue fight from the Invicta show, but good on Tessa Blanchard and Renee Michelle.
You know, there was a lot of talk last night after the Ronda Rousey fight that all of these women in WWE complaining about their short matches, maybe they need to watch Ronda Rousey. She has a short match in the main event of all of her pay-per-views.
You know what? The women there may actually be for that because that would mean amongst them, one of them would become a dominant force that is pushed by the company, is cared for by the company, is promoted by the company as a legitimate athletic champion. So they may be willing to roll the dice on that.
All right. I want to thank Ryan for the call. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? There you go. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Well, you all kind of beat me to the punch, but I was going to say the moment I heard Dave say last night that Brock and Vince had a loud argument and people around them were sort of scared about this, that it just sounded like this is a work to me.
It does raise some red flags, doesn't it?
Yes. It's a little bit dramatic for a contract negotiation. But do you think there's any way they could either, now that it's gotten out that Brock's out there, would they tie that into the storyline, or could they just do the CM Punk storyline walking away with the belt, this time with a lot of people believing he'd actually leave?
Well, I don't think this close to WrestleMania the idea is to have him leave and not do WrestleMania. I mean, he's pretty much got to do WrestleMania. But
no, I was thinking he would win, shock everybody, win at WrestleMania and have teased that he's going to leave to go to UFC with the belt.
I see.
He would have re-signed.
But he's actually re-signed.
Yeah.
The problem is, to do that storyline, I do think that you've got to be in on it with Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta. And I don't think that that's something that... I don't think they're going to want to be involved in that. I think, honest to God, if this thing is an angle, I don't think that Dana and Lorenzo have any idea. And I think that they will be furious if they discover that, in fact, his meeting with them last night was all part of an angle that Vince McMahon orchestrated. I think they would be outraged to learn that they were pawns in this game.
Yeah, but also, at the same time, they can't be accused of tampering. They honestly can't talk to him until his contract is up. So they might just keep their distance. If he wants to show up, it's publicity for us. That's great. But you don't want to be, in the middle of that.
That's right. It's a very, I want to thank you very much for the call. It's a very interesting theory. When I first heard it, I was skeptical, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know what, this really does make sense. You can make sense of all of this. And we'll find out soon enough what the story is behind it, but very, very interesting. All right, to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, John from Philly.
John, what's going on?
Hey, the other day you had a caller on talking about he was in attendance for the Royal Rumble. And I just wanted to bounce off of that, too, in terms of Roman Reigns' reaction. Me and my friends, we were in a club box, actually. And we were in, let's say it was 10 people in there, four of us guys, and there was a family, a husband and a wife and two little kids. So when Roman Reigns came out and we were all disappointed about Daniel Bryan, we, you know, just like almost everyone in the crowd were vociferously booing him. And the kids next to us and the mom were kind of upset. And the biggest difference, now normally in that situation it would be John Cena, the biggest difference I found in that scenario was the fact that when it's normally John Cena, those kids would care enough to start chanting for him. When the fans were booing Roman Reigns, they didn't really care enough about him to really combat that. So I do think that there was a good amount of people in that arena that did like him, but I just don't think that a lot of those people necessarily care enough about him to go out of their way. And I think that's the biggest difference between him and John Cena, if they think that, oh, well, this is just a vocal minority. I think that those majority, I think, will be swayed to boo him if that's what the minority is going to do.
Well, the issue obviously is Roman Reigns doesn't even have the longevity, really. I mean, he's been
investment time has not been there for fans, especially little kids.
That's right. So first off, I want to thank you very much for the call. I mean, he's been there for a limited amount of time. There hasn't really been enough time for fans to really get behind him to the level of a top guy. Someone noted to me, has there ever been a guy who is getting ready to headline WrestleMania for the main heavyweight championship who also has never held a singles title in his career? And maybe somebody can go back and get the stats, but I don't know if that's ever happened before. And that's a situation we're in right now. I mean, maybe Roman Reigns is going to be your guy someday, but maybe it is too early right now. Maybe you're rushing this scenario. Even though you had a year to plan it out, apparently they didn't do enough in that year.
Well, and it's a larger issue, I think, with a lot of the booking and the fact that you don't have stars. I mean, that was one thing about Goldberg's streak was he was knocking off somebody and then up until Raven and then boom, you know, he was the guy on the top of the mountain. And when you are how many stars? He can't face John Cena because that's not what they do. And then outside of that, who else did he beat to make himself special? What special stories were wrapped around him? And the Daniel Bryan thing, again, because it was in Philadelphia and the bad timing of bringing him back and not having the foresight there, as well as Reigns with the promos that are being scripted by a 70-year-old man for a kid who's, you know, 30s, who you're playing. You want him to play to 15-year-olds and 5-year-olds for that matter.
Mike, hold that thought. We'll come back after break, talk more about this. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. And don't forget, we are now here Monday through Friday as well, every day at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. An hour every single weekday, replaying at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, so no matter where you are, you can listen to the show on your drive home. All of the shows are available via download for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. And of course, if you sign up for WrestlingObserver.com, not only do you get those replays, but you get every show we have ever done dating back to 2005, plus Bonus shows every single day. I got two more shows coming up tonight, only for subscribers. The Brian and Vinny Show. We'll be talking SmackDown as well as the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, which takes place moments after we go off the air here tonight. And then another show with Dave Meltzer, talking all of the news from the weekend, more on the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, and so much more. All of this only for subscribers. It's only $10.99 a month for full access to every single solitary one of these shows. And you also get full access to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, a ton of other audio shows as well. There are over 6,000 hours of audio in the archive. So head up to WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up today. You will never miss a show. You'll never miss out. That's the one thing you don't want to do as a listener to Wrestling Observer Live, and that is miss out. So sign up today and enjoy all of that content. Let's head to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Oh, hey, guys. It's James in Tacoma.
James in Tacoma. What's going on?
Not much. So I wanted to ask you guys a question. I've been thinking about this upcoming WrestleMania, and there isn't a feud that I'm interested in that's probably going to be featured on the main card other than Cena and Rusev. And I was wondering, I don't think I'm the only one thinking that, and I'm wondering if you think that if WWE is worried about maybe a possible backlash with Roman Reigns and Lesnar, do you think they'd switch things up and put Cena, Rusev in the main event?
Cena and Rusev in the main event. Oh, man. I don't think so. I mean, Vince, I don't know. That's a good question. Mike, what do you think?
You could. Like, that would be the one, because you can really, like I talked about a lot this week on the show, what I'd like to see as far as, you know, the addition of Hogan and some of the other, you know, some of the other nonsense stuff. But you can really ramp it up with a lot of nonsense, have a lot of crossover and into the pop world because it's John Cena and because it would be the main event at WrestleMania. You could pull out every stop that you had and pour a lot of money into that and make that move if you so chose to. I just don't think that they are going to.
I just find it hard to believe that at a WrestleMania they would headline the show with a U.S. title match over the world title match. I just find that hard to believe.
Yeah, it's not New Japan with the Intercontinental title, and that's the one thing that's, unless you're going to retire the belt or something like that, or again, the belt becomes such a, it's the focus on it being a title match would go out the door if you made it the main event at WrestleMania, because all of this other stuff would be poured into it. And yes, Cena would be winning a title, but it would really be, he's, you know, conquered the Russian and he's won, you know, for America at the sports entertainment's biggest event sort of thing. You know what I mean?
I mean, someday they could have these titles like the New Japan Intercontinental title. I mean, if they put the Intercontinental title on Daniel Bryan and they put the U.S. title on John Cena, I mean, it's possible that we may be entering an era where eventually you can take those titles very seriously, and with the right guy in the right feud, you can headline a pay-per-view with them. But I just don't think that it's the time yet. And I mean, if he's going this hard to get Roman Reigns over, I mean, the guy's going in the main event. That's what I think. Anything else?
I was thinking, like, maybe a weird Americana reason. Like, that seems like such a Vince thing to do. It's like, U.S. title, John Cena, yay, you know, what big, you know, conquering hero beats the evil Russian. That's kind of like what my weird logic was. Like, from a kayfabe or a realistic standpoint, putting over the world title doesn't make sense. It just seemed like maybe if they panicked, maybe if they decided that they wanted to put Cena over in the main event, they wanted to get that over as the big feud. But I was wondering what you guys were thinking.
I kind of agree with that if they so chose to go that way. I just don't think that they would, because, again, they can make it bigger than really what the title is. And, Brian, I understand what you're saying, but I think if that was going to be the case where they actually put the skids on and things with Lesnar were going so south and things with Reigns, you know, he got a terrible reaction and that started to fade, where, again, they would have to pull out so many stops. It wouldn't, at that point, it wouldn't be about the title, even if it wasn't an equal to the world title situation. It would just be about John Cena wins the main event for America at WrestleMania.
I guess we'll find out. I'm questionable that they would do that, but hey, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, if Lesnar shows up and he beats Vince up during an argument, then you'd have to go.
I don't think
that
that's going to happen. You never know, but I don't think that's going to happen. WrestleMania card so far, we've got 4 official matches for the show. We've got Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight title. Sting and Triple H in a singles match, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. We've got 6 names so far. An eclectic crew here in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, second anniversary. The Miz, Curtis Axel, Ryback, Fandango, and Adam Rose. That's your lineup for this Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy.
I'd like
so
to
far.
See some early odds on these guys.
That's right. Eventually, you're going to have 20 guys in there, but for the time being, those are the names. Bad News Barrett will be facing a number of different guys in a ladder match for the Intercontinental title. I would presume it would be R-Truth, Dean Ambrose. Who else pinned him? Daniel Bryan's in there. There's one other guy so far Ziggler, that's right. So those are the 5 guys so far. Not sure how many people are going to end up in that ladder match.
Well, you know, if they make it a 6-pack and they're going to keep Rowan in the mix the same way they've kept him in the mix with Ryback and Dolph Ziggler, is he could be the next one to beat Barrett.
Rowan?
Hey, he could be a big guy that is just there to catch people maybe possibly falling off the ladder.
I don't know about Rowan. I mean, you're right, but I don't know. Rowan,
who else?
What the hell? What do you do with Rowan? I just, he's lost so many times. All he does is lose. I guess you could put the guy in there. He's got to be somewhere.
Like, R-Truth is going to be, you know, top in line for the IC title in that ladder match, right?
I would bet you anything, Mike. If anybody wants to go and check, I'll bet in 2015... R-Truth has won more matches than Rowan. That's my official prediction. I'm not kidding.
Somebody
He's never
go to
on
history of WWE quickly.
Yeah, somebody go find out if that's the case. But as you'll notice here when I read the official lineup, there is no John Cena versus Rusev match so far. Because in an angle they did on Raw, which actually I thought was a great angle, on Raw, the storyline was that John Cena challenged him to a match at WrestleMania, and Rusev said, "No, you are a coward and a loser, and so I am not going to grant you this championship match." So as of right now, that match is not on WrestleMania. I'm sure that'll change, but not yet.
Good. I'm glad they haven't done that. It should not go on Wikipedia until there is some sort of wacky contract signing to take place. And again, I'm sorry. I want to see Rocky IV-style theme music for this. I need to see a video package set to No Easy Way Out. And I need that to be playing with John Cena upset in his quest of being turned down by Rusev. And the last thought anyone would have of John Cena, and America for that matter, which he represents, would be laid out in the accolade.
Well, unfortunately, they've already screwed it up because John Cena was fine on Raw. And not only was the guy fine, but he was sitting there talking about how he didn't care about losing. He only cared about Rusev being a phony. And that killed all chances of a Rocky IV-style storyline going into Mania, I think.
Which was bad enough when he does it with the titles. In fact, it's actually worse when he does it with the world title. But yes, now he doesn't even care about losing to the guy who's been unbeaten and has been the only real monster in WWE. Well, except for Brock Lesnar, has been the only untouchable monster in WWE.
All righty, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's John from Arkansas. Mike, I hope you enjoyed your birthday the other day.
I did indeed, thank you.
It was your birthday?
It was my birthday, yes, on Thursday. And Craig, your friend Craig, sent me a nice birthday text. Rodney Rogers, a nice birthday text. Plenty of nice birthday texts. Wishes and salutations, Facebook posts, all of that sort of stuff, tweets, but nothing from you, Brian?
Nothing from me. Problem is I don't go on Facebook very often at all, so I didn't get the notification. Clearly, that's how they figured it out. They went on Facebook and it alerted them it was your birthday, but I didn't know. I will officially wish you a happy birthday right now.
How do you
now.
Know they don't have this actually, like, I don't know.
They don't
like,
have that.
How would anyone, into their,
how would anyone know what your birthday is anyway, except on Facebook? You don't publicize it. It's not on Wikipedia, I don't think. Go ahead, John. I apologize.
Anyway, though, I was going to comment on your Brock Lesnar thing. You know, you mentioned something that You didn't think it would happen, but let's be honest, if they were to do something like this, it would get people talking. Have Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon have a verbal discourse on camera and actually have Lesnar shove Vince McMahon down. I think it would get people talking, and I think it would, you know, build up some interest for things. But
I think in their mind
would allow for it.
I think in their mind, when Lesnar and Goldberg had their match at Mania, what year was that, Mike? 2003?
It was New York. It was a 20th anniversary, right?
So it'd be 2004, whatever year it was. It was a long time ago.
I can't remember either.
And I think that in Vince McMahon's mind, if 12 years ago or whatever it was, the fans, without any storylines on our television, the fans at WrestleMania knew that these guys were out of here. Then in 2015, of course everybody's going to know. We don't have to worry about, let's make it like a backstage storyline type of deal. Working the boys, the whole deal. Don't even bring it up on television. Everybody at WrestleMania is going to know anyway. The only flaw in the plan would be if everybody at WrestleMania figures out that it's a work, if it is in fact a work, then who knows how they'll react.
I don't think they'd be upset with it being a work, to be honest. I mean, because he's actually sticking around, so there's nothing to be upset over.
Well, that's the point. Vince McMahon wants them to be upset in this theory because he wants them to boo Brock Lesnar because they believe that Brock is leaving, and therefore they will cheer Roman Reigns. If they know that Brock isn't leaving, I think in his mind you risk everybody cheering Brock and booing Roman on the day that Roman is supposed to be crowned the new guy.
Well, you know,
sadly,
it comes down to how many people would know about it.
For his plans on Roman, I think that ship has already sailed, and that unfortunately they saboteured poor Roman from the outset. You know, it's just one of those things. People aren't going to gravitate to him because they were upset by the direction that the office chose, and the only one who's going to pay for that ultimately is Roman. Sad to say.
Well, I guess we're going to find out very, very soon. WrestleMania is coming. As noted, Brock is not scheduled to be on Raw tomorrow, so we're going to have to wait another week to find out how this whole thing plays out. But it is certainly going to be very interesting.
Well, here's the thing. We'll talk about it a little bit after the break, too, when it comes to Brock and the contract.
All right, when we come back from the break, we'll talk about Brock Lesnar and his contract. And we're taking your phone calls as well. And don't worry. Remember, everybody, we get a lot of calls here on Sunday, but still not getting them Monday through Friday yet. If you are listening today, don't forget, Monday through Friday, we are here on this show every day at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Let's get in the habit of listening. We got a lot of news coming up this week. After the break, I'll tell you about some guests we have coming up on The Daily Show next week. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Got a couple of stats for everybody, believe it or not, regarding Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey in 11 fights, title fights and championship fights, the entire time that she has spent inside the octagon in all of those fights, 25 minutes and 2 seconds. That is an average of 2 minutes and 2 seconds per fight. It was funny last night because I was watching with some friends, and she comes out there and she just completely obliterates Kat Zingano in 14 seconds or whatever. And a couple of people were like, oh my God, all that training and it's only 2 minutes long, etc., etc. And all I thought was, if I were Ronda Rousey, I would love to end every fight in 14 seconds. Why would you want to go in there and risk getting punched in the head and beat up and all of these terrible things that happen to you in a fight when you could just go in and end every single fight in just under, on average, what would that be, 2 minutes and 20 seconds a fight? And really, when you think about it, she had the one fight where she went 3 rounds. And in all of her fights, only one of them has gone past the first round. That was the Miesha Tate fight, which I think went into the third round. And had that fight not occurred, then her average time per fight would probably have been, I don't know, significantly less than 1 minute. It is quite the amazing stat. When we come back, as noted, we're going to talk about some of the guests that we are going to have on the program coming up next week. Don't forget, the show is now Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, as well as replays, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Monday through Friday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, the list goes on and on. The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world now, 6 days a week. And as I promised before the break, we got some big guests coming up on the show this week. Last week, we were joined by a number of the Ring of Honor stars. We're going to be talking about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view in just a moment. It is starting the moment this show goes off the air. The 13th anniversary show from the Orleans Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. Had a lot of different Ring of Honor guys on the show last week. This week, we got at least two guests booked for the week upcoming. We have got, on Wednesday, Chris DeJoseph, who is one of the men behind the Lucha Underground promotion. For those of you that love Lucha Underground, we're going to be talking to Chris DeJoseph, who also had a stint in WWE. You may remember him as the fat, oily guy. Chris DeJoseph is going to be on the show Wednesday. You got a lot to talk about with him. And on Thursday, one of the most legendary announcers in the history of wrestling, a Hall of Famer, Jim Ross, is going to be appearing on the show. He's got a lot of stuff to talk about as well. And we'll be booking some other guests as well. We'll also be taking your phone calls, both on those shows and here after the break. If you want to give us a call, the phone number is 855-478-4478. That is the phone number. Whatever you have on your mind, anything in pro wrestling or mixed martial arts, you can talk about here on this program. We'll also be talking about Anderson Silva, his drug test failure, the latest on that, and a lot of other news as well. So stick around, everybody, back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of news to talk about here today. And one thing that Dave pointed out in the daily update that I want to mention here before we go to the calls, he threw out a line here from, he was in Los Angeles last night for the show, and he threw in a line here regarding the new drug testing. Last night it says here, every fighter on the show was drug tested using both urine and blood by the California State Athletic Commission. And he says, from talking with some fighters over the weekend, the change in drug testing is a gigantic story, with a feeling that you'll be seeing noticeable differences in both look and performance. And maybe it's just me, but from watching the show last night, I thought that I saw some changes, some noticeable changes in look and appearance already, Mike.
Really? With who?
I'm not going to mention any names. Come on.
Okay. Well, see, maybe that's because you know that changes are going to come because you have experience in this with pro wrestling and everything else, that maybe your mind was playing tricks on you a little bit. But if not, most certainly you will see those things for sure as everything goes along. And interesting to see the tact that Anderson Silva is now taking, that it's pretty much a tact that he needs to take.
Yes, Anderson Silva is expected to, I guess his camp is going to make the announcement that, in fact, he did take these drugs, it turns out. But he was taking them for purposes of rehabilitation for his broken leg. Here's the thing with this rehabilitation story. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. But I do know this. He failed an out-of-competition drug test in early December, right?
Yep.
He failed a post-fight test in early January.
Sure did.
Okay. So that means that he had these drugs in his system in early December and in early January, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. He took a third test between the first failure and the second failure, and he was clean. This means that he was clean in the middle of December. And then in order to fail the post-fight test, that would mean he would have had to get on it again. Why would you be getting on these things a year after you broke your leg if it was for rehabilitation purposes? That's my question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. He doesn't really have a choice because remember when all this went down, the doctor was the first one we heard, and he said, Anderson's really ticked. Oh, really? So then Anderson came out and said that this is all lies. None of this is true. And then I immediately began to wonder then, because one of these drugs you actually have to inject, is somebody just sneaking around in the middle of the night, stabbing high-level athletes and fighters with needles full of things? We need to maybe look at these things or possibly then look at the doctor as to why a man of Anderson Silva's age and his physical capabilities would then need something like this to take in competition. And Anderson had to say it was therapeutic because otherwise, what else would he be doing? This whole thing with the athletes are going to do what they're going to do. It's the doctors and a lot of the stuff that goes around it. I have more of a problem with. Obviously, guys taking stuff, they're going to do it. And now in the UFC, they're hopefully they will not. But guys are still going to try to do things the same way they do in every other sport. It's the whole other part of the industry that's built around these guys that probably needs to be looked at a little bit further from these commissions. Because, again, three guys in Silva's camp within the span of, what, a year failed for that one steroid. So, you know, are commissions going to start looking at that? Are they going to start looking at these doctors that are allowing therapeutic use? And I don't know where we get muddled waters or muddied waters where it comes to people's, you know, the HIPAA acts and things like that. But, again, this whole system is all screwed up, and Silva didn't have any other choice but to come out and say it was for therapeutic use. Other than that, you would have to admit that you were taking it because you flat out wanted to cheat.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Oh, my God, a fire in the world. Brian, let me call you back.
Okay, call me back.
I hope everything's okay.
It's not every day you get one of those.
That's how hot that take was I just had, that it's lighting people's speakers on fire out there.
I'm just happy that wasn't John. Remember that day that he called us and he was cooking? I would have been very sad if, while he was cooking, he lit the house on fire because he was talking to us. Let's try this again. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Oh, my God.
I'll
look who's
damned.
Back on the WWE's favorite caller is back here on the show. What's going on, Jim?
Oh, man, I just rehab and just been, I tell you, I've really enjoyed my subscription to The Observer. I mean, you know, all those great audios really has, in between my workouts and everything, has really helped out a whole lot. I really appreciate it.
I hear you were under the weather, Jim. Are you I mean, obviously you're feeling better since you called the show again, but is everything all right?
I'm still in rehab, but. Like I said, you know, I'm getting better all the time.
All righty. Well, that's great to hear. What's going on with you?
Okay. I never thought the TNA had a bunch of brain surgeons running the business, but they've got some idiots over there. I mean, I was just looking at the women that they've recently lost. You know, they never did really give Santana Garrett much of a shot.
No.
And she hadn't been out of TNA a month, and she's already a world champion.
That's right. She's gone, and your girl Velvet Sky is gone, and
What is the big deal about them bringing in these big name indie girls? And, you know, like Jessica Havoc, if they're just gonna bring them in for a month or two and then get rid of them.
Well, you got to remember that when they brought people in, I mean, when they first brought Havoc in, I mean, I don't even know what she was making on the indie scene, but they just wanted a new giant to face Gail Kim, and. You know, she's had a lot of great matches on the indie scene. It's very different from the kind of matches that she did in TNA, but that was what they thought when they brought her in. And then there was the contract restructuring that was going on, and just a lot of things all hit all at once. And now we've got, I mean, they're gone. Santana Garrett, the former Brittany, I believe she was called. She was something else when she was in TNA. It was sad to see her go, even though I've been watching the show lately.
Do we know the status of Tania Brooks, Rebel? I know she'll tweet.
what's the deal with Mickie James?
As far as I know, Mickie James was only like a one-time thing when they were there in the UK, but I don't know. Maybe they're the thing is their funds are limited. That's why you've seen so many people leave lately. Mickie James, I'm sure, isn't going to go in there for like $300 a shot, or I don't know what they're offering people, so I shouldn't say a price, but you know, they would be able to offer a lot less now than they did before, and I don't know if it's worth it to her.
I was thinking about another. I've been wanting to ask somebody, and I knew you guys might know the answer to it. Why didn't they bring back Tanae when they went to the new network?
Well, when they went to the new network, their idea was, let's change everything around. Let's do a big-time full revamp of everything. We'll bring in new announcers. We'll give Mike Tenay this backstage. I think he tweets now, and he's got like a Saturday morning thing. They just wanted a new, fresh coat of paint, and apparently they thought that Josh Matthews was going to be the guy. And all I know is, when I tuned into that very first show on Destination America, I tuned in thinking, okay, things are going to be different now. They've got a new network. They're going to be changing everything around. And when I tuned into that first episode, it was the same show I had seen before they moved from Spike TV. And at that point, it was kind of like, there's a lot of shows to watch. There's a lot of stuff I'd rather watch. I don't even get the channel. It's on a Friday night, the worst night to try and watch television. And so it's fallen off my radar. That's just the sad fact of it.
One last thing. What woman is going to get inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Funny you should ask. I want to thank you very much for the call. I'm glad you're well. Medusa is going to be announced for the WWE Hall of Fame, I believe, tomorrow. We'll talk about that more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Before the break, we were talking with Jim in Virginia, who thankfully has returned to the show. And to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Well, it's Chris in Vegas, and I think I got my fire alarm under control now.
Thank God. Was there an actual fire occurring or no?
No, I was cooking in my kitchen and everything.
God, that's exactly what I thought.
My alarm was sensitive. And
what were you cooking?
I am having tilapia, french fries, and veggies.
Wow.
I like that.
God, not a stuffed crust pizza, but not too bad. What's on your mind, Chris?
I should be at the ROH pay-per-view, but I waited till today to try to buy my tickets, and they were sold out, so I ordered it online, and there I am staring at the countdown clock right now. I've got 3 minutes and 38 seconds till it goes on the air, and I can't even watch it till 7:30.
Chris, you should have known better than to try to wait until today to get the show, to try to get tickets for the show. These tickets go fast, my man.
Especially after news that the Four Horsemen would be there.
Tickets went that fast. It's Vegas. It's on a Sunday. People are very transient around here. Thought I'd be able to get tickets at the Orleans. Orleans is pretty big. I guess it's in the ballroom. So
it is technically, everybody, the Orleans. I had screwed up the name of the casino. I was roundly chastised by producer Jerry today. It's the Orleans Hotel and Casino.
Yes.
Now, why can't you watch this? What's going on? Why can't you watch this until 7:30?
It says, hold on a second.
Well, here's
it said
the
that, event cannot be watched until after the show is over.
What?
Yes, well, they did send out a press release this week.
Is that because ROH has trouble streaming online, so they don't want to screw it up? So now I have to wait.
Well,
so the online version you can't watch until after the pay-per-view. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes.
I see. Okay, that makes sense. I thought you were trying to order the pay-per-view, and the pay-per-view was telling you you couldn't watch it until 7:30. I was baffled.
Well, technically, it does say order pay-per-view when you hit the button.
Well, sure, it is a pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view.
Yes, pay-per-view. So what else is on your mind?
I was wondering if that was the reason as to why.
Oh, yes. I'm not sure. Mike, what did they talk about in the press release?
Well, it's just a matter of they are waiting until after the pay-per-view is done, being televised traditionally, and then it will be available for viewing online. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do at all with the with the cable operators or any deal that they have that way, although a cynic would say that they would wait till everything's done, because then that way they would know if it's screwed up or not before it went on the replay. But I think it just comes down to probably a deal that they have with TV dealers, because the last one wasn't on pay-per-view at all until I think a couple days after. So at least this one's going on immediately afterwards.
Well, my question is, why 7:30? Because the show goes till 8. That's what's confusing me about it. The show will go until 8 o'clock.
Maybe there's a pre-show that comes on at 7:30 that they're including in as part of the deal.
I see. You know what I mean? Yeah, that makes sense. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Shut off the wrong guy.
That is from that.
Go ahead, Danny. A new board here. I'm trying to figure out what buttons I should be pushing and which ones I should not.
All of them at once.
That's wrong.
Anyway, I second what Dana White said. Ronda Rousey is totally the Mike Tyson. So hurry up and get her booked at the Tokyo Dome so she can lose, right?
But, of that. Guess that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. But what do you think about this hashtag, give Divas a chance? Like Vince McMahon, like all last week, like AJ Lee and Stephanie McMahon, they did their thing. Like, could this lead to angle between them? Because I remember like leading into Survivor Series, they did like a stare down, but they never went anywhere. Or is it be more the same, and just people should just, you know?
Are you talking about? Wait a second. Wait. AJ Lee.
Right.
I don't think you may ever see AJ Lee in WWE again.
Oh yeah.
I would be surprised, actually, if you ever saw her there again. Mike feels otherwise, but I don't know.
Well, they do. I would seriously doubt it. As soon as the lawsuit happened and being married to CM Punk at all, I probably wouldn't do such a thing, you know?
I mean, they did. She did do the hashtag "Give Divas a Chance" or whatever she was talking about. She confronted Stephanie McMahon about it on Twitter, of all places, by the way, on Twitter. But anyway, they did have their little Twitter beef back and forth, and that's not usual protocol for somebody in good standing with WWE if they want to remain in good standing. The lawsuit now with Dr. Chris Sabin. And CM Punk, we haven't seen her forever. She claims she has a neck injury. I, honest to God, don't think you'll ever see AJ Lee again.
Oh, well, that's a shame. Because Mr. McMahon did the stay too with the give Divas a chance thing, like anything or anything like that, or just you know, empty promises.
Well, first off, I want to thank you very much for the call. My guess would be empty promises. I mean, does anybody listening to this right now think that after all of these years, Vince McMahon is all of a sudden going to start giving the Divas a chance? Does anyone actually think that that's possible? I don't.
I don't either. I wish UFC would give more Divas a chance and book Alexa Grasso and Irene Aldana, both of which who fought on the Invicta show. They both desperately need to be on the Mexico City show or the Mexico show, wherever it's taking place from, UFC 188.
Yeah, I give Divas a chance as a fun little hashtag and everything like that. I know that there are divas that wish that things for them were like they are in NXT, but I've been watching this forever. There is a slot that Vince McMahon sees all of the divas in. And I don't think that here at nearly 70 years old, he is all of a sudden going to decide we need to give these women a lot of time to have great matches on television. I mean, listen, I'm not saying they shouldn't. There's 3 hours of Raw. If you really wanted to, you could get the good working women and give them some time to have matches. But do I actually think that that's going to happen? No, I don't.
You know what they'll do? At best, they will do with the women what they did with Rey Mysterio Jr. and Matt Hardy on that episode of SmackDown that which took place in San Diego, where Mysterio won the SmackDown title from Matt Hardy, or the Cruiserweight title. That will be probably the best that they will do with the women, and they would actually have to have some sort of story around it, and I will believe that when I see it. Now, I'm not saying it will be like that forever. They have a ton of talent. They keep acquiring talent that they are training and that Sarah Del Rey is training down there. and there seems to be a lot of help for these women. And yes, NXT is chock full of women who can move up to the main roster and have great matches. That probably won't happen until Vince is out of the picture, Kevin Dunn is out of the picture, and somebody else has got more sway.
All righty, let's return to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, this is Eric from Minnesota.
What's going on, Eric?
I was wondering, I know I've been plowing through the 1995 Raws lately, and towards the end of February, Shawn Michaels announced that Psycho Sid as his bodyguard. Why did they bring in Sid as Michaels' bodyguard since he was a WrestleMania main eventer a few years before?
Why did they bring him in as a bodyguard since he was a main eventer a few years before?
Well, yeah, for going into WrestleMania 11, Shawn Michaels brought in Sid as his bodyguard.
And yeah.
Since Sid was, you know, the main eventer against Hulk Hogan back to WrestleMania 8, I was wondering why Sid.
Well, he was a big guy. I mean, this goes back to everything we've been talking about WWE, women, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. Vince loves big dudes. And I'm sure the idea was, we'll bring him in as Shawn's bodyguard, and eventually they'll split off and they'll have a feud, and which I believe is exactly what they ended up doing. So they just needed a new guy to play bodyguard for Shawn.
Yeah, and it wasn't one of those things. Traditionally, I know in wrestling, bodyguard has been used. A young guy comes in and they split off. Like Kevin, trying to establish Kevin Nash, you know, giving him as a bodyguard for Shawn Michaels. In this case, it was just he's hired muscle coming in to protect Shawn Michaels' back. And then, you know, the split was to follow. And that's just how WWE will debut or re-debut guys. Look at the Giant, who debuted on the St. Valentine's Day Massacre show by busting, you know, up through the ring and throwing Austin through the cage. It's just what they do. Got to have a story. You got 26 riders, damn it. They need to come up with something.
That's right. Got to have a story. All right, Eric, I want to thank
you. One last question.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I just got one last question I can take to the top here. Did you guys by chance talk about the whole Vince Russo thing yet?
We have not yet. I can talk about it if you want to. we'll do that.
Well, I was just curious what's going on, and I don't feel like spending 20-something minutes on watching his YouTube video.
All right, yeah, I'll talk about that when we come back from the break. I don't like to talk too much about Vince Russo if I just absolutely don't have to, but I will do that a little bit after the break. Should mention, by the way, that I got an email from somebody within WWE, and they said regarding the AJ Lee Stephanie Twitter war, this person thinks that war is more legit than the Brock and Vince drama. So I guess make of that what you will. What do you think?
Considering the other circumstances around AJ Lee and Stephanie, any complaints they would have with each other, I could see that. I could see that.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls, your emails, whatever's on your mind. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Monday through Friday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Replays, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Drive time every day for all of you. No matter where you are in this country, you can check us out during your drive. Also, later on tonight, myself and Dave Meltzer will be back here, as well as myself and Vinny. We'll be talking two different shows tonight, by the way. On both of them, we'll be talking about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, which is going to be beginning in 20 minutes. And we'll also be talking about the SmackDown show on the Brian and Vinny show. We'll talk all of the news on the Dave show. All of these bonus shows available only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 a month. As a subscriber, you not only get all of the brand new shows that we do every single day, but every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archive. That is over 6,000 hours of audio. Interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling are available in the archives. Everybody from Stone Cold Steve Austin to Kurt Angle, the list goes on and on. Mick Foley, Bruno Sammartino, Chris Jericho, etc., etc., etc. All of these are in the archives. You get two shows a day, Replays of Wrestling Observer Live, Wrestling Observer Radio, Brian and Vinny Show, Figure Four Daily, The Adam and Mike Big Audi Nightmare, the list goes on and on. All of that for subscribers. If you like this show, you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. Do not miss out. And don't forget, all next week, Monday through Friday, every week at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
Ed, don't be too excited.
First off, I want to note that I did not start all the women talk this week. That was everyone else, so it's not just me.
But and, by God, you're going to finish it.
Mike, don't feel bad that Brian didn't wish you a happy birthday. I pretty much had to call into After Dark and demand that he wish me a happy birthday, and he knew it was my birthday. He just
what are you talking about? How did I know? I have no idea when your birthday is.
Oh, you definitely knew it was my birthday. But anyway,
how?
I want to talk about Ronda Rousey. Because I sent you a bunch of other stuff bugging you about it before.
I see. I see.
Because he blew you up nonstop saying, it's my birthday, and you still couldn't hit him off with
that's right. He'd harass me earlier about his birthday, and then I get it. Okay, you're right, Ed. I apologize. When the hell is your birthday anyway?
Kayfabe this, but tell me happy birthday.
When's your birthday, Ed? Don't say today.
December 5th.
December 5th. Okay, Mike, you better remember that, or we'll have a problem next year, too. All right,
go ahead, want me to remember that? Okay.
That's right. Go ahead, Ed.
Okay, I want to talk about Ronda Rousey. And, you know, she's been smoking all these girls so fast. And I think a lot of the problem is that these girls actually go into this fight with this arrogance, and it leads to their downfall. Like, Misha Tate, the first time they fought, refused to practice arm bars for some God knows reason why, and got her arm broken. I think Kat was so confident in this fight that she did everything wrong. Why do you put your hands on someone who's the greatest judo practitioner in the UFC history and has taken every single person down with ease? She basically did the worst thing you could do, got into Ronda's grip. She did get the takedown, but Ronda within a second had already reversed everything and flipped her over and took control, and then she leaves her arm out there. You know, I mean, it was just like she's supposed to be Ronda's toughest opponent, and yet she did every single thing wrong. And then I thought the post-fight interview was hilarious because she just was, like, in shock because she
no swearing, no swearing here.
Oh, I'm not, but she did everything wrong. You think you it took this, like, a couple years before this fight happened, she should have had a better game plan than that.
Well, that's what Jessica I was actually saying before the fight, was people just rush in there, and when it comes to leaving her arm out there, she kind of didn't have a choice with how things went. I mean, that's just the way things went that way. Now, as far as rushing at her goes, yeah. Well, but the problem is, and I understand it too, and somebody is going to have to do that with Ronda as far as, you know, wanting to back up and everything. But here's the thing about people rushing at Ronda. Ronda's going to come at you. Regardless of what you think about, I'm going to circle back. And this isn't a boxing match where you can, you know, roll your shoulder every time a punch is thrown and duck out and stay away and pitter-pat and things like that. At some point, you're going to have to get at each other and you're going to have to go hand-to-hand because that's what kind of combat it is. And there's going to be a tussle and you're going to have to do something. So no matter how far you move back, no matter what you think your game plan is going to be, at some point, unless you somehow can truly turn it into a boxing match, and the only person basically that can do that is Holly Holm. And as Holly showed last night, she's not fast enough. As far as I'm concerned, she's not dynamic enough to get at Ronda Rousey in the time. She may be able to do it in a boxing match. She is not able to do it, as far as I'm concerned, at least right now in an MMA setting. She's the only one to could actually possibly stay away from Ronda and play fists and knock her out. Everybody else is going to have to touch Ronda. And so what's your plan then? You know, yes,
well,
it may
me,
not
me,
be
let
the
let
best thing
this.
In the world to run in, but what else are you supposed to do? At some point, Ronda's going to be Ronda and get a hold of you.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if this is true, but this is certainly what was rumored online. The story was that Kat Zingano decided, I am not going to watch any tape. I'm not going to watch any Ronda Rousey footage. I'm just going to go in there and fight her. And I don't know if that's true, but if that's true, that is one of the worst decisions that I have ever heard in all the time that I've been covering mixed martial arts, how can you go into a championship fight with Ronda Rousey, who's finished virtually everybody in under a minute? Stats, as noted by Jerry, 25-02 is the total amount of time she's spent in the octagon in 11 fights. Knowing somebody is that dominant, how do you go into a title fight with them and have never watched any footage of them in action? It's astonishing.
I refuse to believe.
One more thing I'd like to bring up is all before this fight, you kind of, you know, with the Invicta fight the night before, it kind of, everyone got the assumption that calling each other out, Cyborg and Ronda, that is, at each other's fights. But that didn't happen because Dave was saying that they just don't think she can get to 35 easily, and why promote it? My question is, who do you think Ronda, because I'm pretty sure she's going to beat Jessica Eye and Beth. So after she defeats them and really does clean out the division, who does she fight first, Cyborg or Gina?
I don't think that she's going to fight Cyborg or Gina. I think if she clears out the division, here's a very important point. Ronda Rousey is not fighting again for a while because she is off making a movie. And to me, it is very possible that if she beats Kohea and she beats Holly Holm, she may just retire and go full-time into the movies. If you don't think that she's made millions and millions of dollars already, think again. She could beat two more people, retire undefeated. She could always claim, whether it's true or not, that she's the greatest fighter who ever lived. She could go into movies and make even more money. I mean, I don't know if I see her fighting past these next two opponents.
No, it depends on how she is with her money. You know, if she's not crazy with her money and she seems to be modest in how she came up, and I think everybody knows those stories and things like that. As long as she doesn't blow over money, yeah, what does she need it for? She can be a trainer. She can be a stunt woman. You could put a microphone in her hand. I don't know if that's something long-term she'd want to deal with, but certainly to do press events. There's a million and one things that Ronda Rousey could do that have nothing to do with throwing fists against, you know, a fight against Gina Carano at this point. It's not going to happen. At least I don't think it's going to happen because Gina's in the same place. Why would she have to? Why put her body through the training or through any of that stuff? And I'm sure from Ronda's point of view, from as fight fans and promoters and things like that, people may think differently. But as far as Ronda's concerned, she doesn't need Cyborg. I don't think, you know, people are going to go out down in history and go, well, she never fought Cyborg. We need to hold that against Ronda Rousey. If it never happens, doesn't really matter. Cyborg's already got a black mark of steroids and everything else. And hey, if she can't make it down to Ronda's level, there's really no reason for Ronda to move up. She holds all the cards in this.
All right, let's talk about this Ring of Honor pay-per-view, which is coming up moments after this show goes off the air. It is the ROH 13th anniversary show, taking place from the Orleans Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. There is a four-way for the title in the main event. Jay Briscoe defending the ROH World Heavyweight title against Tommaso Ciampa, Michael Elgin, and the bearded war machine Hansen. Four-way for the title, Mike. Who's leaving with the belt?
I'm going with Jay Briscoe. I really am. Again, you could try to make a case for a lot of those guys, but I just say Jay Briscoe gets the win.
Jay Lethal and Alberto Del Patron is the semi-main event for the ROH World Heavyweight title. Jay Lethal was on the show on Friday. Always a great interview. Alberto, I don't know how long he's in, and so that would lead one to believe he's not winning the title.
Yeah, and as we talked about on Friday, Jay Lethal has held that ROH World TV title for, what, 320-something days, whatever it is. I just don't see him losing it to El Patron.
Also on the card, there is a Red Dragon versus Young Bucks match, which should be maybe the match of the night. I would be hard-pressed to believe that these guys could have a bad match. It's hard to believe that anything less than a blow-away match. But they are grappling tonight for the ROH Tag Team titles.
Yes, the winners there, the fans, as it usually is when these two teams face each other. And I guess the rumors are this could be the start of a long feud between the two and ROH. We'll have to see how that goes. They've been great in different combinations in New Japan when they faced off against each other. So I don't know who gets the win here, but I'm going to stick with Red Dragon holding onto the belts and Shayna Baszler possibly replacing Filthy Tom Lawler, friend of the show, friend of the site, as being the seconds for Red Dragon. I've heard that rumor.
We've got AJ Styles, ACH, Roderick Strong versus BJ Whitmer. Maria Kanellis is back to face ODB. The Bullet Club. Well, we got a slight problem here. It's supposed to be the Bullet Club, Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson against Michael Bennett and Matt Taven, as well as Chris Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. But apparently Doc Gallows is off the show today. I don't know all of the details yet, but it was just posted at WrestlingObserver.com. So I'll try and find out some information on that here in just a moment. But that match is apparently off. And Matt Sydal and Cedric Alexander is also on the show. According to Dave here, Doc Gallows sent a message saying that due to travel problems, he will be missing tonight's pay-per-view show. Gallows left Raleigh and ended up stuck in Detroit, where he was connecting with travel issues due to weather, making it impossible to get to Las Vegas in time for the show. He is half of the IWGP Tag Team Champions, made it clear he was furious at missing the show, noting his belief that champions don't miss events. Last word we got is Anderson has to go it alone against the teams of Bennett, Taven, Daniels, and Kazarian on the show that starts shortly. No tag titles or anything on the line, but apparently he's going to be in a handicap situation here on this show.
I wonder. You know, I know Samoa Joe has announced as being there. I wonder if we will get some sort of possible partner for Anderson as this goes on. I can't believe a Bullet Club member would have to go it alone.
I should mention, by the way, since I did promise I would say something about Vince Russo, I don't want to talk a lot about Vince Russo, but for those of you wondering what I know of the situation is, I don't believe that Vince Russo is going to Lucha Underground. I have been told by people within the company that he is not going. I know there are a lot of rumors he's going to go there. I believe it is just a coincidence that whatever disaster befell him and his website, which required Vince Russo to shut his own website down, I don't believe that it has anything to do with any of the rumors of him going to Lucha Underground. So for those of you worried about that, and count me among them, I think that you can rest easy. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget, we return tomorrow. We are here Monday through Friday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Every single day, Monday through Friday, we are here. We'll take your calls tomorrow. We'll talk about Raw, whatever is going on in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We will discuss on the program tomorrow. Don't forget, later on tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, 2 shows. I will be up with Dave Meltzer talking all of the news, plus the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Also with Vinny, we'll be talking ROH as well as the SmackDown show. A lot of news to talk about tonight as well. All of these shows only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. For the rest of you, we'll be up tomorrow on Wrestling Observer Live at noon. Don't forget, the ROH 13th anniversary show is taking place moments after we go off the air with a 4-way Jay Briscoe, Tommaso Ciampa, Michael Elgin, and Hanson in the main event. 4-corner survival match for the ROH World Heavyweight Championship and Jay Lethal versus Alberto El Patron in the semi-main. And that is going to do it for today's show. I want to thank everybody for listening here today, all of the callers. Glad to hear Jim is back on the show after a hiatus due to whatever problems he was having, which apparently he is rehabbing from right now. So best wishes to Jim. And of course, thanks everybody at Sports Byline USA. We had a great week last week, although we were dealing with, literally it was like Raw, dealing with technical difficulties during the show. But we got them all fixed if you heard the show today, so we're good to go for tomorrow. So we'll talk to you then, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.